Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap, and we're just excited that you've taken the time out of your busy schedule just to come and fellowship with us here at the table. Tonight, we're going to be continuing on with our dialogue that we started about 2 weeks ago, and if you were with us during those 2 weeks, you know that I said that God has just called us to just make a shift into not a totally different direction, but just to transform some things within our own minds, within our own selves, within our own beings, and also with each other. And hopefully one of the things that we can do from this is to be able to transform not just ourselves, but have a transformative experience with God who created every last one of us. So I'm just excited that we have Sister Mary Williams with us once again sitting down at the table. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing this evening?
We are doing very well. Well, let me just tell you where we're at. For those of you, if you're happening to just listen to us for the first time, a couple of weeks ago we started a new series, so to speak, of really just getting deep down into transforming this thing, this PRF table, to talking about more than just money. We're really talking about financial resources. And in this particular segment, we're going to be here for however long we need to be, but definitely for a couple of weeks. And in this area of financial resources, we're really talking about availability, needs, and effectiveness. Those are the three areas that we're going to be looking at over the next month or so, however long it takes us to get through it. Because as I said earlier, we're looking to make a transformative shift with this thing. We're not looking just to put out a whole bunch of information. We're looking for how do we grow in this process. How do I grow through this process as one of the hosts of this PRF table? How do you grow as individuals who are listening and taking the time to listen to us and allowing some things to settle into your heart and also allowing some things to be relieved off of you through the power of God? So we're just going to dig deeper into it. Tonight, what we're going to really look at, and just being specific with it, is we're looking at a couple of different areas. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we created a survey, and I haven't, Sister Mary, decided how we're going to put that out yet. I have paper copies of it. I'm also available to be able to send it out by email, but I think the method that I'm going to do is place a link on the website. But I wanted us to get some information going, some buzz going with this topic of availability, needs, and specifically the practicality of the resources that's offered and also the effectiveness of those resources. And if you were here with us on our first show at the beginning of June on Thursday, we were starting off talking about availability of resources. And Sister Mary, all of y'all who were sitting at the table that night, y'all were really trying to hurry up and get to us talking about needs. So I did let us naturally flow to the area of dealing with needs, because you can't get away from needs. And that's one of the unique things about the PRF table and about this whole process of PRF that God has given me several years ago, is that there's always more than one thing that is connected with something else. So we can't talk about needs without talking about availability. And we can't talk about availability if we're not talking about practicality and effectiveness. It's like this. You can have a spare tire but not have a car. Doesn't do you any good, Sister Mary. So we want to make sure that when we talk about financial resources, when we're evaluating our own religious organizations, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight, continuing with that. When we do that, we want to make sure that we're doing what we can do to connect not just people to the resources, but we want people to be connected to practical and effective resources, because we want people to be blessed by however God has laid it upon our heart to bless somebody else, whether we do it individually or whether we do it as a religious organization. So, Sister Mary, do you have anything before we just go ahead and get right into it tonight?
Well, when you were talking about availability, needs, and effectiveness, when I think about a need, we see people and we know people that have needs, but I'm just putting this on myself. Am I available? And if I am available, am I willing to do whatever it takes to help this person with their need, whatever it might be? And if I am, you know, available and I am willing, am I also, do I want to be effective in what I'm doing? And do I want to do whatever that person needs? Sometimes people need encouragement. Do I want to be effective and just do it with excellence? That's all I have to say.
A good way to get everything started tonight, because you asked really two important questions there. I would say two very important questions. The first question was, am I available? And then the second question was, am I willing? You know, I would flip those around. Me, not you, but I would. The first question, I think, which is really, really important, is, am I willing?
Yes.
Because I can be available. But the bigger question for me, Sister Mary, is, am I willing? When somebody comes to me and says, I'm in need, am I willing to do it? When somebody comes to our church and says, I'm in need, are we willing to do it? If you remember last week, I read you a case study, if you will, about something that happened in a church, about somebody coming to a church and having a need. And I think one of the things that we can probably agree on this early in the show was that there was not a willingness, even though there was availability.
Right, yes.
The people were available there. The people were available to be able to let somebody come and say, hey, I need some help. The people were available to be able to listen to that individual, state what their case was or state what their problem was or state why they were in the situation that they were in. But it all went back to the willing part.
Yeah.
And you and I both know, Sister Mary, that God has given us all free will.
Yes.
So he's not going to, although we may be available, he's not going to force us to give.
Right.
He's not going to force us to help somebody.
Right.
And I think that's a good segue just to let you know, those who are out there listening right now, a couple of the different scriptures that we're going to be talking about. And let me say this, if you want to join into the conversation, please press 1 on your dial pad. If you're listening to us online through Blog Talk Radio, you can also go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. There's a link not only to the show, but if you have any questions, the link that's to the show and the post that is up there right now, just start making your comments, and I promise you we'll get to those comments and we'll get to those questions as well. So here's three questions from the survey that I think I want us to deal with tonight. The first question is, and we've kind of tapped around it a little bit in the first two shows, Sister Mary, but I think it's important for us. Go ahead.
No, I was just responding to what you were saying. I was saying yes.
I think it's important for us to be able to just ask some simple questions. The surveys that we have created to be able to assess what we're looking at is the comprehensive analysis of resources available to the religious organization. What's available to you if you are a Christian and you are a member of a church? What is available to you as a member of that church? Not as a member of the body of Christ, but as a member of that church. If you're a Muslim, if you're a Jew, whatever you are, whatever your religious affiliation is, what resources are available to you? Now, I can't speak too intelligently on things that come out of the Quran. I can't speak too intelligently about things that come out of the Torah. But I can speak a little bit intelligently, Sister Barry, about a couple things that come out of the Word of God as far as what we consider to be the Bible.
Yeah.
And so even if you are not of the Christian persuasion, we want you to be able to share what is applicable and what is relevant to you in your faith-based community, whatever it is. You have that space on the PRF table, so I definitely want to make sure that we are not isolating anybody from this conversation. Amen? So this first question, the first question on the survey dealing with availability is a yes or no question, and really it's yes, no, or I don't know. And the question is this: my local religious organization offers resources to assist us in the areas of finances or stewardship. And I know, Sister Mary, I'm going to throw that question out there to you, but I know it sounds like a question that we dealt with before. But I kind of made some revisions from before, because remember, like I said earlier, this is about a transformative shift. This is not about having something so concrete that when God starts to move and God starts to speak, that we don't want to move with him. And so really what God started speaking to me after the first two shows, or maybe after the first one, was maybe this question, the way we had it formed and the way we had different answers that could be selected, maybe it just really needs to be a yes-no question. And also I don't know, because this is what I got. The answer that you and I give to this question is important to how people receive not just us as individuals within or of a religious organization, but also it gives people a perception about how we are as a religious organization as a whole.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask, again, let's take a step back a little bit and just respond to that question. You know, does your local church offer resources to assist people? And again, we're being specific now, right? To assist people in areas of finances and or stewardship, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yes,
no. I have to say I don't know. However, with me saying I don't know, are we going to be having a business meeting where they'll be going over all the money that has been spent in the different auxiliaries, and I will be there, and then I will be able to be more effective in my answer. That meeting will be in 2 weeks.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Even though you're having a meeting about what's being spent in the church, that really is not answer that answers that particular question, because really it's about what's being offered to you. You know right now what the answer to that particular question is. You know if it's yes, no, or you don't know. And I think, Sister Mary, it's not really even necessary that you have to quantify your response.
Okay. I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? We don't even have to quantify that response. It's what we know. We go with the information that we have, and then we move forward.
Yes, okay.
Because, like I said, your response to that question is important to how people perceive not just you as an individual, but also a religious organization. Because if I was a person in need and asked that question to you, and you told me, well, we're going to have a meeting in about 2 weeks, if you said that, then I may not go any further with you, because now I may have a barrier up there that there is nothing there available right now.
Oh, okay.
So
I have to say I don't know. Yes, I understand exactly what you're saying. So I have to say I don't know.
And let me encourage you. If you don't know, and like we dealt with on the previous show, if you don't know, you don't know, right?
That's correct.
God has not given us this platform to have anybody under any type of spirit of condemnation being condemned because we don't know something. Two things that you and Sister Adia have said on previous shows as we dealt with this subject of financial resources, availability, need, and practicality is that you are going to do something with the fact that you didn't have the information, but you're going to get some information.
Yes.
So we don't want to keep going backwards. We want to keep on moving forward so that you can get whatever information that you need. And the reality is this. I just may not know about all of the resources that are made available to us in the church. But I think what's important is if we have some knowledge of some resource, even if it's just one, let us not push that to the back because there's 10 resources that are in the church that we don't know about, but we only know one.
Okay.
Somebody else may not need all 10. They may need that one that you have knowledge about. And maybe God brought that person to you for that, for knowledge about that one that you were knowledgeable about.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to answer that question, again, we would love to hear your response. Press one on your dial pad, and we'll go from there. The second thing I would, the other question is this. My state, regional, or national religious organization offers resources to assist us in the areas of finances or stewardship. So I think that's an important question, because sometimes we don't have those resources being made available to us on our local level. But I also think that it's important that our, if we know or have the knowledge of our state or our regional or our national organization offers resources. One of the things that I've found from reading the Bible is God didn't give everything to everybody.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I believe there's a scripture that says, and to some he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers in the book of Ephesians. That lets us know that he didn't give everything to everybody. He said, and to some. And I believe also, if you go over to the book of Romans, Sister Mary, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
he only names three of them over in that book, Romans or Corinthians. I think I'll try to have to find it before the end of the show. But he only gives three of those gifts to the church, not all five. So we can spend a lot of time, and I've heard it, talking about the fivefold ministry, but the fivefold ministry is not going to be all in within your house, Sister Mary.
Yes, that's right.
Because he gave some. And so the whole matter is this. God knows exactly what we need. Not only does he know exactly what we need, he knows exactly who's there, who's positioned in certain places, who's coming to be a part of us, and what they're bringing with them that's going to help further the kingdom and the body of Christ.
Yes.
I've talked a lot, Sister Mary. If you got something, go ahead and jump in, because I think I'm getting like Brother Feast. I think I'm getting a little excited, because I think there's room for us. There's so much room for us to grow within the body. So much room for us to grow if we're willing to just have honest and open dialogue about the things that affect not just my individual household, not just my specific religious organization, not just my community, but how is it that God is using me and all of us to affect whatever area that needs to be affected at that particular time.
Right. Well, I was just thinking about, I'm not far from Camp Lejeune, and majority of the members of our church are military, and so when the mm-hmm. Soldiers are deployed, and the women in the church are left pregnant, they have a group of women that take care of them. We've had maybe two or three where these ladies, they make sure that they take care of their children. They make sure that they help. They've had some that moved in with them and make sure that everything's okay. And I've seen that because it's young. It's a majority of the members are young, and a majority of the church, they are young too. And we have about over 200 members, but it's a young people. Most of the majority is young people, young couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was just amazing to see, you know, if anyone is sick in the church, you know, they have a group of people that will make sure that everything's all right with them. They go visit them, you know. They help with the children, you know. It seems as though when I see there's a need, as I'm observing, and I see when there's a need, there is always someone there to help. And see, I don't know, say, about the finances itself, but far as helping, they are there, you know. One lady was just completely, she was an elderly lady, and she was just completely, kicked out of her home for whatever the reason. you know, and they don't go into detail. They just say, you know, sister such and such needs a place to stay. We need, you know, we need, she needs help, she needs pots and pans and stuff. And it's just amazing how that we, you know, we just do it. And we, you know, it's just amazing to see that. Because I've never, because it seems like it's a lot of needs in our church, because of, mm-hmm. because they are young and they have, you know, it's lots of children, you know, and they have the, we have a youth ministry, and majority of the children do not bring, well, the parents do not come with them, but we go and we pick them up, you know what I'm saying, and I just see how. It, you know, they work together, you know, they work together and help the children. And it's been some, you know, abusive children have been abused. And, you know, of course, they teach the teachers how to handle that. And it just seems like that's the, when I see the need, they do help the need. And I know that they do have an outreach ministry, you know, and again, it's always helping. There was a young, there was another couple whose baby was born, you know, deformed, and they had to keep locating them to different hospitals for these surgeries, you know, and they were just right there to help, you know, and keeping and letting us know what was going on and things of that nature. And that's all I have seen, but I've never heard any talk of someone needing money, you know. And so I don't think about it one way or another, you know. But like I said, because I'm on this platform, it's really just waking me up to things that I don't really think about. You know, I go to the meetings and I sit there and I, you know, I listen, but I'm never just really taking it that serious.
Right. And, you know, and this is what I think with that question about, my local religious organization offer resources to assist us in the areas of finances and or stewardship. I hear, and if Brother Feaster was on the line listening with us, he would say, Sister Mary, that's stewardship all over the place.
Oh, okay.
But again, this thing is about transforming our mind, because sometimes we don't look at anything other than the dollar sign when we hear certain words like finances or economics.
Yeah.
We don't realize that there's a social piece to economics. We don't realize that it's not just about finances having money, but it's about the possessions and also the resources that's being made available. Can you imagine, let's go back to what you said, Sister Mary, about the pregnant wives from the Marines that are happen to be deployed. Well,
yeah.
I can tell you that as a spouse of a service member who is deployed, the Marine base has an organization on there that is also there to help take care of or connect the women or the men who are spouses while their spouse who is the Marine is actually deployed.
Okay.
So they have a lot of resources available to them, because they're not going to allow them to just be without.
Right.
Now, here's one of the things that I can say, since you are living in a military town, that a lot of times if the people who need the resources don't go to the resources that are available to that military environment, that military community, then now what that can do is bring more of a burden onto the church outside of the military community.
Yes.
Why should we give $100 for groceries when they can go onto the military base, buy $70 worth of $100 worth of groceries for $70, or get
yes.
some free, or get a voucher. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So just something just to think about, because we want to always make sure that we're using God's resources in the most effective manner. Amen?
Yes.
So let me go back to this. Let's look at a scripture, because we haven't hit any of them yet, because we've been just flowing with it. But I think when you think about that question, my local religious organization offers resources to assist us in the areas of finances and or stewardship. Let's go back to the second chapter of Acts.
Okay. Okay.
And let's start at the 42nd verse. And those of you who have been with us here at the PRF table since 2011, you know, and I had to say it like this, that this whole ministry, this whole thing of PRF is rooted in Acts chapter 2, 42-47, and also 2 Kings, the story of the widow woman and the oil with Elijah. Those are the foundational biblical texts that we use, that God has given to me as a foundation of dealing with all three of those areas, possessions, resources, and finances. And I think it was kind of cool, Sister Mary, that God gave me that particular scripture from the New Testament and also gave us the book of 2 Kings or the chapter 2 Kings as one from the Old Testament. So if somebody is more inclined to the Old Testament, you got 2 Kings. If you're more inclined to the New Testament, you have the book of Acts. And if it doesn't matter, if it's just whatever hits you, you have both of them to pick from. But Sister Mary, let's, if you will, I believe that you have it, right? And if
yes,
you do, if you just read those for us,
right.
42 and also 40, going down to 47 for us.
Sure. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen.
Talk to us, Sister Mary.
Wow. It's just that to me, it's choice. You know, the people made a choice that they were going to follow the apostles, and they were going to follow their doctrine. And in doing this, they were blessed because they fellowshiped, and they was breaking bread, and they were, you know, they were praying. And then it says, and then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs was done by the apostles, because they, I mean, the fear is that this is something that they weren't expecting, and to see the signs and wonders, you know, that were done by the apostles, because they were just mere men, you know. And then because the signs and the wonders that they did see, and they knew that these were only men, so it had to be coming from God. Then they say, and all that believed were together. That means they were together on the same page, you know, and all things in common. You know, they were just there to receive what was being given to them. They might not have understood about the signs and the wonders, but they just believed, and they had all things in common. And it goes on to say, and this is really awesome, it says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, not some men, but to all men. I mean, everybody was there, was blessed. And as every man had a need. And as you were saying before, all of us don't have the same needs. But it says as every man had need, because there were different possessions. And so they willingly did this. They willingly did it. And then it says, and they continued daily. So it wasn't just, okay, one night. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That means there was no grudging. There was no jealousy, no envy, you know. They just did it with that single heart. They were, in other words, they were on one accord. They were happy that they were able to do this. And then it says, and then they know they gave God the praise, you know. They didn't leave him out. He didn't, you know, they didn't get excited and then say, okay, I'm just thanking. I'm so thankful for everything. They say it's praising God. That means it didn't just say thank you, Jesus, and forget it. They say praising God and having favor with all the people. That's favor. And the Lord added to the church daily at such as should be saved. And here, and this, when I read this, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And when people, you know, I've heard people, you know, I just want to try to get members to the church, members to the church. But here, here, when they did this giving, and they were receiving, and they were willing, then God came in and he just added to the church. So no one had to, they didn't have to worry about having fish dinners and stuff.
Uh-oh.
They had to worry about none of that, because when you're doing what, when you're just doing what God has called, when God, if you just do what God wants you to do. And nobody, and another thing here I see too, is that it was no, everybody was submissive. No one was trying to get position. It said the apostles, doctrine and fellowship. It didn't say one apostle, the apostles. So they were on one accord. No one was trying to be bigger than the other. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So again, when you see that, you see love. You know, you see that they saw that these apostles are about us. Amen.
You hit so many nails on the head, Sister Mary. I don't know where to begin trying to come behind all of that, but I'm going to give you your applause and your praise now because you broke it down. Oh, if you have any comments, come on and join us and join into the conversation. We'd love to hear what's on your mind, hear what's on your heart. You know, one of the things that I really, I'm not trying to make anybody take this particular passage of Scripture, this particular text, and use it for them, but I have to say this. It is so critically important for us in our faith, Sister Mary, as Christians, as believers, because this is the first time where the believers actually formed a community.
Yes.
The first time after Jesus left where the people actually formed a community. And so the components of this particular text, the components, the teaching, the fellowship, the sharing of meals, the sharing of the Lord's Supper, coming together in prayer. And you hit the nail right on the head. This was not a one-time event. This was something that occurred regularly. And I like in verse 44, because you mentioned it, they shared everything that they had. You know, it is never, ever, ever going to be good enough that we're living high on a hog in my house, but my next-door neighbor is without.
Yes.
But that whole thing that I just said all is based upon the fact of, are we a community? Are we together in love, or is it just I live at house number one, you live at house number two? So if there's no relationship there, there's no community. That could be a title of a sermon one day. If there's no relationship there, there can't be any community. Because you said it. You talked about the humbleness. You talked about how they met in each other. You talked about those things, even though this is just what the word is saying. But all the while, they were praising God.
Yeah.
For not for what they did, but for what he did. And I love the end of another verse. And they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people. Maybe so many people are frustrated with church. I can't speak about any other religious organization. But maybe some people are frustrated with church because everybody is not enjoying the goodwill of the people. When you look at these particular verses, I don't know if we're even going to get off of this tonight, but when you look at these particular verses, you read nothing about somebody was mismanaging their money so nobody wanted to give to them. You see nothing about somebody didn't have health insurance because they didn't have the best job. So since they didn't have health insurance and they didn't have the best job, that they weren't given to their needs. You see nothing about because somebody made some bad choices in their life and their credit is not as good as yours or mine or the way yours or mine used to be, if that fits you. Whoever's listening. That they said, you know what, your credit is not good enough. You don't read about because nobody's saying anything about, well, you should not need anything right now because you should have had enough common sense, enough wisdom. You should have got saved so you would have known to save your money instead of spending it.
Yes.
And let me tell you why. None of those things, I don't want to add something. All I'm going to say is this. None of what I just said is written. You don't read anything about what I just said or anything like that. There was a need, people had needs, and they brought it all together so that they can put it there so that they can distribute it to everybody who had need. That's all we get.
Yes.
So if that's all that we get in the scripture, you know what that tells me? That's all that matters.
Right.
I told them last night, I told them, go. Let me say this one thing, I'll let you go. I told them last night, I said, back in 2002, I said, and, you know, I'm ministering to our people on Wednesdays. I said, none of y'all knew that I was at the point of bankruptcy in 2002. You may not have known that, but none of y'all knew. None of y'all knew. And I said, and here I am sitting next to you every Sunday, every Wednesday, whenever we got other programs. None of y'all knew what I was experiencing because my dress did not change, because my countenance did not change. Was I going through? Lord, yes, I was. But nobody knew that. And I said, can you imagine how many other people may have been going through something similar or worse during that same time period? But you never knew it because the relationship wasn't there.
Yeah.
There was also something else, Sister Mary. Maybe I was too ashamed to let somebody know I needed some help in the church.
Pride.
Maybe I was ashamed. Maybe I was prideful to ask for help. Maybe I was ashamed to ask for help. Maybe I maybe I felt guilty because of making some poor decisions. Whatever it is, there was something there that prevented me from looking to my church for resources. Maybe I didn't look to the church for resources because I thought that the resources should have been put out there so that we already knew, so that when somebody had a need, let's go back to Acts 42 to 47, when the need was there, they knew where to come.
Yes, yes.
So knowing where to go for the resources is just as important as having the resources there to be able to give.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay. You know what? Now, this may be a little off, but what I'm thinking here is that, you know, people were, I know this had to spread. And people that heard about this, this is just me speaking now. When people heard about, I'm just, for an example, if people heard about this, they just came right on in.
Hmm.
Because it said here, it says, okay, they said, okay, they already knew what they were going to do. But I'm looking at the outsiders heard about this. And I'm seeing it says, as every man had need. So it wasn't, it didn't seem as though it was a restriction. I mean, it had to start somewhere, so it started there in the church. I'm just saying in the church there with the believers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people on the outside heard about it. And then, you know, they just merged right on in. And here it says every man had need, so it didn't matter. Because it didn't say no stipulation here. It didn't say no stipulation here. And then it said they went on and continued daily. So it wasn't any conversation about, you know, what church you belong to. You know what I'm saying? Or who you, what's the name of your pastor? It just flowed. It said, as every man had need, and they continued. It was nonstop. Come on over if you want to. And then it went on to say that singleness of heart, that means everybody's heart was alike. It was like it was one. It was unity. It was unity. And there's power in unity. But again, you know, we can all be together, but we must be on the same accord. And we must have the same goal in mind. You know, when they say, and they sold their positions, because remember Ananias and Sapphira?
Well, hold on. Let's not go there, because we are going to go to Acts 4. But
okay.
this is what I want us to keep in mind, because I want us to be knowledgeable in the truth of God's word. We don't need to have the mindset that unity means 100% participation.
Right. But I was
we cannot have
them.
The mind that unity means 100% participation, because it wasn't 100% participation even there.
Yeah.
Let me prove it to you.
Okay.
It said in the beginning of chapter 2, all the believers were meeting in one place.
Okay.
Because it was the day of Pentecost.
Right.
So there was a lot of people there for the day of Pentecost. When we look at the 47th verse, and it said, and the Lord added to them all that was going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
We know it was more people there than this first instance of people being saved in 42 to 47.
Yes.
So everybody who was there for Pentecost came from at least 11 different regions around Jerusalem.
Right, okay.
So not everybody who was there at Pentecost on that day when the Holy Spirit came through those 120, 124, and they heard him speaking in other languages, and then Peter stood up with the other 11 and he started to speak to them. And then they said, what do we need to do? And he said, repent. And then he kept on preaching. And then their hearts were moved.
Yes.
And then they subjected themselves and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Yes.
So there had to be a move, a shift that occurred before this community could even be formed.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
So if we go over to chapter 4.
Okay.
And you go to the end of chapter 4. There's another instance. All the believers were united in heart and in mind. And they felt what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything that they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's great blessing, not just a regular blessing, great blessing was upon them all. See, when I'm doing well and you're not doing so well, but I'm of a cheerful heart and I'm giving to you and we're doing this because we are of the same community, then everybody's doing well.
Yeah.
And God's blessing will be on all of us. Okay, so let's keep going. Verse 34.
Okay.
Chapter 4, verse 34. There were no needy people among them, because those who own land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need.
Mm-hmm.
Availability of resources has to be connected to the need. The need has to be connected to the availability. And then it starts talking about, and this is what I love.
Okay.
As we're dealing with what's being made available, there's an example there that I want everybody to take a note of in verse 36.
Okay.
Similar to the example that's in chapter 2, the example was when they performed miraculous signs and wonders, the apostles. In chapter 4, verse 36, it gives an example of Joseph and Barnabas, and I read that. The whole point of what I'm saying to you is this.
Yes.
There has to be something to attract the people in order for the people to come.
Right.
So if there's no miraculous signs and wonders being done, if there's not a living example of what this thing is supposed to look like when it comes to us providing resources to those of us within our body, within our church body, why in the heck would I want to be a part of your foolishness if I know that you don't have nothing to offer if I should need some help?
Right.
Why would I want to be a part of your foolishness if I have, but we don't have anything set up where I'm able to contribute, not just of my financial resources, but I'm a step off key for a minute, but give of myself as a child of God to the kingdom, to the work of the kingdom, but you won't let me do it. You won't let me help these pregnant women who need some assistance, may need to get around back and forth to certain places. You won't let us have something like that where we can put it out there so people know that it's out there.
Yeah.
So people can see that we're doing this thing out of love. Not because we have to, but because we get a chance to. So let me go to verse 36, and then I'll let you go with it, Sister Mary. So it says, for instance, so what I'm seeing here is, it's just not good enough to just say that they were of one heart and mind.
Right. Okay.
It's not just good enough to say that they that what they had was their own. I remember you used to say something, you used to call that lip service.
Yes.
If I'm unable to see the fruit of that labor, if I'm unable to see what is being manifest, what's being manifested from what you say about this God who is going to provide for you, but you don't have. And it's not a fact that you don't have. It's a fact that the resources may not be made available to you from within.
Right.
One of the things that just bugs me so much about people who give so much of themselves to their churches,
yes,
to their national organizations, religious organizations, just give, not just of themselves, but also monetarily. And then when they're in need, it's not there for them.
Oh, yeah.
I'll use the words of my wife. It may be time to pack up my grip and go. Because why do I want to be with a community? Why do I want to be with those type of believers that's not going to help me when I need help? When I'm helping others when they need help. Okay? So, for instance,
yeah,
there was Joseph. He was the one. He was that apostle who they gave him the nickname of Barnabas, and that means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi, and if you understand about the tribe of Levi, the Levites had no allotment to the inheritance of the land, the promised land, back in Deuteronomy. He came from the island of Cyprus. And verse 37 is key. He says, he sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So what I'm saying, Sister Mary, and then I'll let you jump in here. What I'm saying is this. When we talk about resources being made available to us as members, we have to know what resources are made available to us as members.
Right.
Because if we don't know what resources are made available to us, and if I can't say as a ministerial leader what resources that we have to offer as a church community, why would we expect Lord added to them daily? Can't see it happening. I can't. So now I'm going to step on the toe. I'm going to step on this toe, and then I'm going to be quiet, I promise. So at the end of many of our church services, and I'm going to be critical for a minute because I want people to think about this. At the end of many of our church services, or I'll be specific, at the end of my church services in the church where I'm at, there's always this opportunity to offer salvation to somebody.
Yeah.
And then 9 out of 10 times, nobody comes up. Now, I recognize that you don't have to get up out of your seat to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Got it. But during that time when the offer is made, even if they say, just raise your hand if you want to, just to let us know that you have just accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Nothing, Sister Mary. Crickets. Nothing.
Yes.
And then if you think about it, let's go back to when the church was a community. There had to have been some type of dialogue, not worried about how many numbers. After they formed the community was when the Lord added to them daily.
Right.
So it was after the believers did some things. It was after they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and doctrine. It was after they shared themselves, shared meals with each other, including having the Lord's Supper. It was after the apostles performed signs and wonders.
Yes.
So if we ain't doing all of that, why in the world are you even wasting your time thinking that the church, that the Lord is going to add to your church or my church daily if there's nothing to be seen? I said I was going to be quiet. I can't. I'm on a roll. I'm like Brother Feaster.
Keep on rolling.
Can I also go back and let you know something else?
Yes.
We hear this. You hear what I'm saying because this is coming out of Acts chapter 2 about believers, about the believers forming a community. In verse 41, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all.
Yes.
That happened in verse 41, which was before verse 42, which is when the believers devoted themselves. So that means there had to have been something that was said, something that pierced their heart. So let's go back up to verse 37, working our way backwards. So Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him, brothers, what should we do? It wasn't about what they enticed them to do. It's what pierced their hearts. And when their hearts got pierced, they asked the question. So now once they asked the question, that opened up an opportunity for Peter to be able to say something to them. Now repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise to you, your children, the Gentiles, all who have been called by God. And Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners to save themselves from this crooked and corrupt generation. What's interesting is it says, those who believed, not everybody who was there.
Right.
Those who believed. So it's about the ones who believe, the ones whose heart actually gets pierced.
Yes.
If our hearts are pierced as a religious organization to assist people in the areas of finances or stewardship, and I'm saying this from a ministerial leader position, then we don't have to worry about people wanting or not wanting to join the church. It'll be, as you just said, Sister Mary, it'll be natural. I'm going to be quiet. Go ahead, Sister Mary.
Oh, that's good. Boy, you said so much there. And, wow, like you said, I don't know what to say behind that. But I'm just thinking of, it's right in the heart, because their heart is after they heard the word. See, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, for myself, I have to want to receive. I have to want, you know, when I'm hearing the word, and it's something that I know that I need to, that's not pleasing to God, it'd be an attitude I have about something or someone. And when that word comes, I can harden my heart, or I can just receive it and say, I need to change. So here I see, obviously, they needed to change, but they wanted to change too. Because they said, now when they heard it, so they came prepared. When they came prepared. Somewhere they've heard about Jesus. They heard something about Jesus. They didn't understand, but they heard something about Jesus. So they came with an open mind. Because it says, it didn't say how long it took. It said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. So that means they came prepared. And when they heard it, you know, it didn't have to, you know, they didn't, it wasn't like they had to meditate on it and think about it and when is this true. They just received it. Because, again, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? They wanted to do whatever they needed to do according to what they heard.
And let's remember, too, this wasn't like they came to a church either.
Right, right.
It was
right.
Thousands of people there in the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
So it wasn't like they were in just one little spot.
Right.
I want to believe from my reading that they had to have been outdoors with that many people. So,
yes.
And you're right. There was some talk about Jesus. There was other talk as well. And this
yes.
other talk was what was relating to them to capture their attention. So it wasn't you need to accept Jesus, you need to repent of your sins. That was part of it, but that's not how it started off.
Right.
It started talking about King David, if we go back to further in the beginning of the chapter. It talked about King David being their king. It talked about the Spirit being sent out among all flesh. It talked about Joel. It talked about, they talked about their history. It talked about them being crucified, Jesus being crucified by them. So he
yes.
talked about things that were relative to being able to capture their attention, which led way to them talking about Jesus and having to repent for their sins. But there was something else that happened. The first thing that happened was the Holy Spirit hit and came in as a mighty wind to 120, 124 in the upper room. And then they
yes.
spoke in other languages, unknown tongues. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh. I think we done lost a couple. But that's what happened.
Right.
So there was a mighty spiritual occurrence that happened.
Yes.
That captivated and mesmerized their people's attention. Remember when I said the example in Acts
yes.
chapter 4, verse 36 and 37 with Joseph, Barnabas? Remember the example in Acts chapter 2, 42 and 47 with the apostles performing the signs and wonders after the 3,000
yes.
were saved?
Yes.
But we have to backtrack and go, where did this whole thing start from? Where did
yes.
it begin? It began with a mighty act of the Holy Spirit touching 120, 124, which captured the attention because they spoke in the language of those who were there.
Yes.
Which there was no way that they should, there's no way somebody coming from France, no, I'm sorry, no way somebody coming from Rome should have been able to speak the language of Africa.
Right.
How can that be is what they actually said. Then they thought they were drunk. No, they're not drunk. So now we have an instance where we have to kind of let them know, or they had to let them know that it wasn't that. It was something else.
Yes.
So in order to deal with this thing of providing resources, as my religious organization given resources, I need to be trying to go back, and this is me, I'm throwing it out there. It may be helpful, let me say it that way. It may be helpful if I'm asking this question about what is my church offering to help me in this area of finances and or stewardship. Maybe what God is saying is take a look at your church and how is your church organized and structured according to this biblical example of a church that I placed in my word.
Mm.
No condemnation, conviction if it's needed.
Mm.
See, the people who were there for the day of Pentecost,
yes.
they already were godly people. They were there for a religious celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it wasn't that they did not know God already. They already had a relationship with God. So what this lets me know that all this, this whole church community, being able to share their needs with others and share their possessions or sell their property, all of that came because there was a group of people that had a relationship with God. That's their starting point. So maybe the reason why we spent so much time tonight, Sister Mary, as we get ready to shut it down for tonight, maybe the reason why God had us just dealing with this one question, because we really didn't deal with the second question about our state, regional, and national religious organization offering resources. We'll pick that up next week. But maybe one reason why God allowed us just to stay on that one question about my local, because God is trying to tell us something. Maybe God is trying to get us to look a little bit differently of how we're doing this thing called church.
Right.
Maybe he's trying to get us and others and those of you who are listening and those of you who may be listening to the archives after the show is over tonight, maybe he's looking for us to be able to say, where is it in my local community that is acting and being like this type of church? And if I don't see that, if that's not me where I'm at, then maybe we need to pray that we're operating more like an Acts chapter 2 type of church.
Right.
Because a lot of our churches are not being the type of church that God has called us to be. And the good thing is, the good news is, God's grace is sufficient, so we have an opportunity to make the transformative adjustment. But it's going to take courage from us as the members, and it's going to take courage from us as the ministerial leaders.
Yeah.
To follow that path, to follow that transformation, that rethinking of the mind, that Romans 12:1, that transformation of the mind, not conform to this world. That's my two cents, Sister Mary. That's what I'm thinking that it's going to take. So do you have any closing comments for us before we go ahead and shut it down for tonight, Sister Mary?
Okay, you were talking about Romans, transforming your mind, and it says, I'm just going to read it real fast. It says, beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if each one of us would take the responsibility, if I take the responsibility, you know, to want to be in his good and acceptable and his perfect will of God, well, the example is there in Acts 2:41, because that is his will, that we show love. And he says, love is the greatest gift of all. He also say, love would draw all men to me. Amen. And so that's what happened. It drew men, the love that was shown, drew them closer together, because they all were sharing. They were showing the love. I mean, I'm sure some people that were hungry, and everybody didn't have the same possessions, but they were showed love that for probably the first time, you know, hey, I feel good. These people love me. Because although they were believers, you know, we don't always treat each other right. But here, they were treated with love, which is the greatest of all, you know. And people just want to be loved. People just want to be loved, showed respect, kindness. And here, everyone was in a singleness of heart, it says. They wanted to do this. They enjoyed sharing what they had. They went on and they sold their possessions. They didn't care, you know. And so that's being conformed not to this world, because the world is about me, myself, and I. But to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the minds were renewed, you know, in Acts 4. The minds were changed. And that was because of the love. And so for us to be in a perfect will of God, to me, this is an example of what God wants us as believers to do, to share. And really, this is just me speaking. As believers, none of us should be lacking.
Say that again.
None of us should be lacking. When I didn't have insurance, you know, and I was having a rough time, I was on my own. So I had to go to the emergency room. You know, or if I needed medicine or something, you know, I had, you know, if I didn't have the money, you know what I'm saying? I just had to believe God. I'm saying far as anyone asking, oh, you're sick, I'm sorry, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I hope you feel better. Believe God. You know what I mean? You know he's a miracle worker. You know, you get the word, but no one did not ask me, you know, do you have money for your medicine, you know? But I got lots of scripture. So the word says, faith without works are dead. And that's all I have to say.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank you. We thank you for just listening to us, listening to God, being with us on this Thursday evening, taking the time out of your schedule, as I always say, because we definitely do not take it for granted that you're here with us. One of the things that I want everybody to remember, sometimes we have to take the necessary time to be able to explore these type of things, these type of questions. Lord knows that I understand that this is not church what we're doing. This is ministry. And if it takes a little bit longer than it would take in a regular course of study regarding finances, then we're going to be cool with that. We're going to let God control how long it takes us to get through these various questions of the survey that have been developed for us to explore, for us to learn, for us to grow. And so next week, we're really going to deal with the other two questions that we didn't get to tonight. And one of them is, and I want you to think about this as we go into next week, think about my state, my regional or national religious organization offering resources to assist us in the area of finances and or stewardship. And also think about the question, other local religious organizations make resources available to assist our members in the areas of finances and or stewardship. So with that second question, we're talking about other religious organizations. And I'm not going to give you any more than that. Other religious organizations making resources available to assist our members. So, Sister Mary, that's this other organization five blocks away from my church making resources available to people in my church. So we're going to try to talk about that, and we're going to look at it from the perspective of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first four verses, and we're also going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. Both of those may be some familiar passages, but I encourage you to go through and read them and meditate on them and let God speak to your heart and come and join us at the table and be a part of this conversation. So connect with us once again on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. Click like on the Facebook page itself so that you can follow along with us as we're having conversations during the week. Invite others to come and sit down at the table and be a part of what God is doing here on the PRF table. So with that, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.